This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
As housing prices continue to climb, it can be tough for many people to find a place to live in Austin. It's even more difficult if you have a criminal record that shows up during a routine background check. By some estimates, about 1 in 3 American adults have some type of criminal record. That can include anything from an arrest that never led to a conviction to petty crimes and violent offenses. When it comes to housing, many landlords simply refuse to rent to those people. KUT's Saida Hassan has the story of how one Austin resident who has a criminal background found a place to live. And a warning, this story might not be suitable for young listeners.
Family photos, a fish tank, a 72-inch flat screen, and a dog named Candy. These are some of the things Annette Price has filled her apartment with since she moved in this past summer.
It's a one bedroom, and it's big enough for just me and Candy.
It took Price almost a year to find a place and sign a lease. After months of searching, I figured she'd be pretty thrilled.
Yeah, it's really nice. I like the
It's not where I would like to live, but it's
She says it's not where I'd like to live. But this apartment complex in North Central Austin is one of the few places in the city that the 52-year-old could get approved for housing. That's because about 30 years ago, she was convicted of murder. It was 1985 in Zion, Illinois. It's a small city about an hour north of Chicago. Price was 4 months pregnant. She was in a car hanging out with a guy named Gabriel Perez Jr. Price says he was a friend of her boyfriend at the time.
So I was taking him back to where my boyfriend was, but he had things on his mind that I wasn't aware of. Like, so he wanted to have sex. I didn't want to have sex. So I had sex with him in order for him to take me back to my boyfriend, go ahead and do it.
The general order of events is backed up by police reports from the time. Price says she thought he would let her go after that.
And he was telling me that I couldn't leave and I wasn't going to see my family and friends anymore, so then I got scared. And I did have a knife. And so I waved my knife at him, thinking if I'd scare him, then he'll let me out the car.
Price says she and Perez began arguing and things got physical.
And so in the midst of our fighting, I stabbed him. I didn't know how many times I stabbed him. Eventually, I got out the car and he drove away. And so I went the route that we came because I know my boyfriend was over there.
Price says she and her boyfriend walked around looking for a police officer to report what had happened. Remember, this was the 80s. Cell phones weren't so common yet. She says they eventually found some officers at a nearby hot dog stand.
But the police knew who I was when I approached them at the hot dog stand because I left my purse in the car. And I told them what happened. They saw that my clothes was ripped off. I was beat up and bloody, but they didn't care about any of that stuff. So I went to jail, and then I ended up getting charged with a murder.
Perez died from the knife wounds. Prosecutors argued that it wasn't self-defense. Price was in her 20s when she was sentenced to 40 years in prison. She gave birth while she was incarcerated. Price spent 3 days in the hospital with her newborn daughter before her sister came and took the baby home. Price went back to prison.
From day 3, she knows my sister as her mom. And so they're both here now in Austin. You know, my sister raised her as mom. And she still calls my sister mom.
Price was eventually released on probation. She moved to Austin in the late 2000s and got a job working as a secretary. The company didn't look into her criminal history. Eventually, Price bought a house in Manor and continued to get promoted at work.
I was there from about 3.5 years. As I said, worked my way up and management changed. And when management changed, I lost my job because they did a background check on everybody.
She got by with her savings at first, but after a couple years, Price had to give up her house and move in with her sister. She started searching for a home all over again. But Price was repeatedly denied housing because of her criminal history.
Even though my conviction at that time was almost 30 years old, I was still being rejected. Most of the apartment applications they had on there, if you ever had a conviction.
So she enlisted the help of some professionals.
Do I need to be prepared for it?
I met Ingrid Evans at her office in a North Austin strip mall.
I am the assistant manager here at A-Plus Apartment Locators.
That's the company that helped Annette Price find her apartment. They have a database of properties and management companies, including places that will house people with criminal backgrounds. But Evan says it usually depends on the nature of the crime.
An assault is pretty much impossible to work with. Any sex offenses, we can't help them. We have to send them away. They go back 100 years on those, so there's nothing we can do.
Evans is referring to what's commonly called a look-back period. It refers to how far back a landlord will look into an applicant's history. She says those periods are pretty standard at most places she works with.
For a felony, it's 10 years. For a misdemeanor, it's 5 years. But again, like I said, it depends on what it is.
Still, others consider an applicant's entire criminal history and will turn them away if they have any kind of record. Federal officials say these kind of blanket policies may violate the federal Fair Housing Act. That's because the practice is likely to have a disparate impact on African American and Hispanic people. But researchers say many property managers don't seem to understand those legal obligations.
It's not anyone dictating to properties how they're going to screen applicants in terms of criminal background.
Bree Williams is the housing chair for the Austin-Travis County Reentry Roundtable. The group surveyed affordable housing properties in the Austin area on their criminal screening practices. In a report released last year, they found that 40% had vague or incomplete standards.
And only one of those properties posted that screening criteria on their website, so there was a huge accessibility issue as well.
Along with more transparency, the group is advocating for more properties to provide some sort of appeals process. Less than 20% of the properties they surveyed offer that option.
We see the value in the applicant being able to essentially tell more of the story rather than just what the report is saying, and that can then inform a more fair decision around that risk assessment.
The Reentry Roundtable is working to create a screening guide for landlords, which they plan to release in the coming months. Earlier this year, the group hired Annette Price as an advocacy fellow. She's helping craft those guidelines. Price hopes to show people that having a criminal record is more common than they think.
That neighbor that you have, that you make brownies with, that you attend PTA meetings with, they may have a conviction that you're unaware of.
And she says no one wants to be reduced to the worst moment of their lives.
We are all humans. We all make mistakes. And I guarantee you everybody has a secret that they haven't shared. And just because my secret is out in public, that doesn't mean I'm less than you are.
Price says she'll always feel sorry for having ended someone's life. But she says once people have served their time, they just want to move forward, including finding a place to live. Saida Hassan, KUT News.